Father, we just ask, we give our hearts to you today. We've worshiped you. And in every one of the songs, I love it when you do that, Holy Spirit. You preach the message you laid upon my heart. So we've worshiped you in song. Now we want to look at the Word and worship you again. Because we're trusting for complete healing in each one of us, just as for the person that Ray requested prayer for their heart. Father, we want a new heart. We want the new heart that you gave us to be released, just as the physical heart that Ray requested be surgically and perfectly done. So we're trusting you, Father, for our very life. And we thank you that you gave it to us for that reason. And we bless your name and we praise you for what you are going to teach us, because we give you our heart. And I acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And so I say, Father, through the Holy Spirit, speak to each one of our hearts according to what we need to hear, whether it's the words I say or not. And I thank you in advance that you're doing that, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As the first slide, and as you know, if you're familiar with my teaching, I love to teach with pictures. And I believe that that is good, because it has been said that we remember more of what we see and hear rather than just what we hear. And so my picture today that I've started off the message with is showing the earth on which our feet are stationed. The upper sphere represents the kingdom of heaven. And you and I have an assignment. If you ever wake up and think, what's my assignment today? What is my calling? Why am I here? This picture illustrates that. You are here to be an open window, to be an ambassador, to be a speaker for bringing the kingdom of heaven into this earth, making it the kingdom of God. You are the portal. You are the open door that God has chosen to not only let it change you into His image, but to let that fragrance go out to every place that your foot steps, no matter what mountain you are on, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in education, whether it's in the media, wherever it is, that's your mountain, that you're releasing the kingdom of heaven so that others will taste that fragrance and want to know Him. We have just entered 2012, according to our calendar. And Bob Jones says, the prophet that presently lives, I think, in North Carolina, that the old things have passed, and starting 2012, we'll be releasing the new. How many want the new that God has for us?
Amen.
And to leave the old behind?
Yes, ma'am.
Because you see, our assignment hasn't changed, as James regularly reminds us. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God told them to take the garden and expand it to the whole world. Well, as you know, sin came in, but it didn't change our assignment. Our assignment is to take His kingdom to the whole world, and as He always does, if the enemy thinks he's stopping us when we rightly align ourselves to Him, he makes it better than it was before. And so, therefore, you don't have to be a prophet to realize that our country, our world, is in trouble. All you have to do is turn on the television. So we are living in critical times. The decisions we make will determine whether 2012 will be the best of times or the worst of times.
Amen.
And we get to choose.
Amen.
Let me see if you may have to help me there. Kyle, will you do the first flip and maybe it'll work from there on? I like this picture because it describes the same thing basically that the other one did in another way. You see this man has his feet on earth. You see a path there. Each one of us have a different path. Your path's different than my path. And there is something about God that only you can release to this world. Isn't that neat? And so he says, as you're walking on your path in his presence on planet Earth, you are really seated in the heavenlies. That's what that upper picture is. Jesus is ruling and reigning in the kingdom of heaven right now. And he has given you and I the ability to live in two spheres at the same time. Isn't that cool? We get to live in two spheres at the same time. As our spirit is open to him, letting him lead us and direct us, it flows through us and we have the mind of Christ that we release it here on earth. That is described in Ephesians 2:6. If you're not familiar with that scripture, he says he seated us in heavenly with him. Now let's stay connected in that position so that we live in two spheres successfully. How do we do that? Something, I need your help again, Kyle. It went backwards instead of forwards. Okay, why are you not going forward? Well, I guess I'm going to have your help, Kyle. So this is what I want to talk specifically about today is the kingdom of God unleashed, causing a kingdom reversal in our life. All of us have made some bad decisions and had decisions made against us that we had no control over. But God says it's time to reverse those and let his kingdom be unleashed not only in us but through us to the sphere around us. And so as this sword is pierced into the world, breaking off the bondages, the yokes, the evil that has strapped all of us down, God says it's time to reverse it and get a recompense in our life so that his kingdom is literally unleashed by allowing him to reverse it. Well, I'm going to have to ask for a workover with my flipper. So, Kyle, when I nod, if you will mash. So, how do we do that? What is the scripture? Mark 12:30-31 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. How many of you want to give just a little bit of your heart to God? No, he says, I want it all. With all your soul. With all your mind. With all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, as we sang today, our whole purpose for life is knowing him. Paul, who wrote a big part of the Old Testament, in his last book that he wrote, he said, my highest goal is to know you. Have you ever wondered why you're being driven and what you grasp didn't quite satisfy? That's because deep within, the true you, who you really are, is designed to know him. That's why you were designed, is to know him and to walk with him and make him known. Anything less does not satisfy. So, I won't do it anymore because it reverses it. So give me the next slide, Kyle. Hebrews 4:12, I've talked about this for several months and I'll probably talk about it. I don't know how much longer. But the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God, we have the Word of God that we hold in our hands. That's called the Logos. And as we read it, He ramas it to our spirit soul. But Jesus is the Word of God, is He not? And so the Word of God is living in you. And He says that He is powerful and living and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. A few months ago, we spent a whole morning on how do you know whether you're operating out of your soul or how do you're operating out of your spirit? Well, the simple, quick answer is look in Galatians 5, 19 through 24. Fruits of the Spirit or the fruits of the flesh? If the fruits of the flesh are coming out, you're operating out of your soul. And God says, I want to divide that. I want your spirit to be in charge and your soul to submit. And then He says it pierces even to the joints and the marrow. So we talked 1 month about how we're joined to each other. We are joined to each other at one season for one purpose, like I used an example of an egg in a nest. That's a right joining for that season. But if that little bird doesn't hatch out of that egg, what happens? It rots. So it's good to be in that egg for a season, but if it doesn't poke out and come out, it would rot. So we recognize the seasons we're in and we cooperate with Him. How we're joined to each other, to be sure we're joined to each other appropriately. And last month, in November, I talked about the marrow. The marrow is where the life is in the bone. And it's okay for that egg to be in the shell while it's hatching. But if it wants to stay there and draw life from that shell all of its life, it doesn't work. We have to make transitions, whatever they are. And be sure that whatever cycle of life we're in, that we're drawing life according to that cycle, and that each step is taking us fuller to know Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and then the thoughts and intents of the heart. Probably could work on that for a long, long time. So let's go to the next one. This is simply another way of explaining the same thing. The tripartite being, the one on the right, shows the way all of us started. You know, we are spirit, soul, and body. The picture on the right shows that before we come to know Christ or before we're walking with Him in fullness, the spirit's very small. And when it's very small, the soul has to take over. Wasn't designed to take over and lead, but it has to if the spirit's not leading and has to simply survive, do the best it can. And as a result, their strongholds developed. And they do survive, and survives better than dying. But God says, I have provided for you a transitional walk to be conformed to my image. That's why we're here, to be conformed to His image by knowing Him. And when we know Him, we know who we are. And we know how to walk and take the mountain that He's designed for us. So I would like for that line to be very straight. But in reality, it's up and down, up and down, up and down, as that red mark shows. But as we are letting the Spirit control us and the soul submitting, we are being transformed. So the next picture shows much the same thing from a different graphic. The picture on the left shows a pure heart. The good news is, no matter what stage you are in your transformation, when you're walking with Jesus, you've got a pure heart. When you're dealing with everything He's showing you, you've got a pure heart. even though you're not mature, you're not perfect yet. If you don't believe that, look in 1 John 1:7. He says, walk with me in the light, and my blood will constantly cleanse you. Now the one on the right is reality that all of us have broken places. All of us have unmet needs. All of us have unhealed wounds. All of us have unresolved issues. And the good news is we don't have to be afraid for God to show us those. Because when He shows them to us, He's showing them to us to get us to agree with Him for healing, for restoration, for unraveling it. So instead of backing away from seeing ourselves, we should run into His arms knowing that He wants to release us from those bondages and those yokes and those bonds that have kept us in prison. The next picture shows us Ephesians 3:18 through 19. When I saw this picture, it just captivated my excitement. Because I saw that is picturing what Ephesians 3:18 through 19 says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. We've already said we want His fullness. That's what we're yearning for. That's what we're longing for. That's what motivates us. And this picture showing all different colors coming up to a heart, leading to a light upward. He says, I'm drawing your heart. I'm drawing your heart in such a way that I want to show you the length, the depth, the width, and height of my love. Because if you really know my love, you're going to relax in my presence. And we're going to have an exciting adventure. The next picture shows His complete provision. Jesus, when He was on the cross, said, it's finished. I felt everything you felt. I've experienced everything you've experienced. I became you at that point. And I took care of everything you need to have complete victory. And you know, when the soldiers pierced His side and out came water and blood, what else happened at the same time? The veil was rent from top to bottom. And that veil was very thick and very high and it was rent by the finger of God. And I'm pulling from that illustration today. The presence of God had been in the Ark of the Covenant up until that time. That day it was released because Jesus said, I've paid to have a new temple and you're it.
Hallelujah.
You're it.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
And when you receive me as your Savior, I've come to live in your temple to release my glory and my presence every place you walk. Isn't that exciting? And as the next picture shows, He gives us the key to how to do that. The key, as this picture shows, it looks like we're in a dark room. But you see a big keyhole, and on the other side is brightness and light and victory. And He gives us the key as to how to let Him dwell in our temple, that all the bondages that have held us back, all the wounds that have tried to pull us down, all of the unmet needs be met, because they're met in Him, no other. And He is the resolver of all issues. So there is a key. There is a key to giving us the capacity to walk with Him in greater heights every day. He told His disciples in John 16, He said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive them now. You know, it breaks my heart if I have pulled back from Jesus so that he couldn't expand my capacity, and there was many things he wanted to tell me that I didn't let him. I want to hear it all, don't you?
Amen. Yeah.
I want to hear it all.
Hallelujah.
And he says, let me give you the key to that so that you can speak the truth and will that sort of truth so it breaks the bondages of yours and those around you so that the truth will set you free. And as James has said before, yeah, it'll set you free, but it'll make you miserable first. But if you're going through the misery to freedom, that's worth it, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, you're just staying in the misery forever.
Right.
So, he says, I'm giving you the key. I want you to speak the truth from now on. I don't want you to do trash talk. Trash talk that puts yourself down, puts other people down. I want you to speak the truth that sets you and others free. As the next slide shows, I'm quoting now from the Living Bible, Romans 1, 18 through 20. But God shows his anger from heaven against all who push away the truth about God from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. But God has put his truth in their, his knowledge in their hearts. Now, stop a minute. What does that say? God has put his truth in you. You've got your DNA in him. If you're not saved, you've got the potential to be saved. You're made in his image. He says, I put the truth in you. The truth about God is known to them instinctively. That's what God says. You know the truth. God has put his knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest times, men have seen the earth and the sky and all God made and have made known of his existence and great eternal power. So they have no excuse. Yes, they knew about him all right, but they wouldn't admit it or worship him or even thank him for his daily care. Okay, at this reading of that, I want to stand out the truth and thanking him. Do you know we're worshiping something or somebody at all times, period, over and out? We're either worshiping ourselves, we're worshiping other people. I care what you think or you think. If I care more what you think than what God thinks, I'm worshiping you. And so whatever is driving us or motivating us, we're worshiping. God says, I created you in my image and you will be free. Love life only when you're worshiping me because that's the way I programmed you. And he said, you know the truth and are you thanking me for what's going on in your life? The next slide shows us another visual aid of there are strongholds, but the sword of the Spirit, his truth, when you wield it, will bring down those strongholds in your life. And as you do them in your own life, there will be a domino effect. Those around you have to deal with the truth you're walking in. Now, like that film that James showed us of Ernie Ford singing, that one little boy didn't like all that enthusiasm, and he just got offended and got up and left, didn't he? Have you ever had anybody that just got offended because you were so effervescent they got up and left? Bet you have, haven't you, Gary?
Yes,
ma'am. We do have to be considerate, but we have to be who God created us to be. God created us to be. So as we wield the sword, not only will strongholds come down in us, but it has gives the opportunity for them to come down in other people's lives. They have to make a choice. They may choose to get excited or not. But that's their choice. The next slide shows, again, this same truth in a similar way, that God is calling us to a balance in our life. And as James has said many times, God has his part and we have our part. And I'm working hard on getting this divided. What's his part and what's my part? I get in trouble when I start doing his part. And I get in trouble when I don't do my part. But he says that as you're walking in the light that he's designed you to and where you are in your cycle of life, there will be contentment. Not that you feel you've arrived or that you're perfect, but there will be a contentment that you've taken care of business that he would have you to take care of. But there will be an eagerness for more. I want to know him more. And so therefore our assignment is to wait in his presence. Be sure we're in his presence, living in both worlds. And watching to see what he's doing. And then cooperating with what he's doing, with our spirit being in charge and our soul submitting. The next slide shows how when we get it imbalanced. Last time I talked about a familiar spirit. And I think a familiar spirit many times is one of the hardest to deal with. Because if you were raised in a certain family, you didn't know any different. You thought, this is the way life is. This is the way everybody acts. And it takes a lot of work to take the Word of God, match it up to the patterns of your life and your family's life to see if it's God's life. And many times it's harder to divide your identity from your parents, from your children, from those around you, because it's easy to think about you are who they are and they are who you are. And you have to work hard to get perspective of dividing from that familiar spirit. Now, I remember a time as I was thinking about this, as our sons were in school, one of our sons, and it wasn't the one that was here today, got in trouble in his Christian school. And I would pray that this would be the only trouble that kids would get into today. But at that time, he got expelled for saying some cuss words on the ball field. And so as I was called in and we talked about it, the Holy Spirit said, "Doreen, why are you concerned?" Because at that time, my ministry had just started flourishing and I was speaking a lot. Are you concerned because how this makes you look as a Christian author and speaker? Are you really concerned about his soul? And the answer was simple. I'm concerned about his soul. I don't have a reputation. That's in God's hands. I'm concerned how to get up under this son and help him be all that God would have him to be. So many times it's hard to separate yourself from your children or your parents, but God will do that to give you his perspective so that you can be used in their life. Now, according to the imbalance that you have, this diagram shows that. Some of us are more aggressive and think we've got to fix the world yesterday. And that person, if it carries too far, according to Galatians, stirs up strife. And they end up eating and devouring and biting each other. There's the other side of that flesh pot that's more passive. Fix me and it's your fault if I'm not fixed. Entitlement mentality. And so that ends up going into an inordinate affection or trying to get your life for somebody else. So as we know the different ways that we can get imbalanced, then we can be on alert as we look at the next slide, Kyle, showing us how God wants to take the key from Romans 1:18-20 and change us. He said, I've told you the truth. Now, I want to read this again. But God shows his anger from heaven against all who push away from the truth about God from them. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put his knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest times, men have seen the earth and the sky and all God made and have known of his existence and great eternal power. Do you love to look at nature? Do you love to look at God's creation? He says, look at my creation and learn about me. Learn about me. If you look at a quilt somebody makes, you can learn about them. Other things they make, you can learn about them according to their interest. God says, look at my creation and learn about me. And so I want to share with you an exciting thing I learned about his nature that excites me and stimulates my living in two worlds at the same time. Looking at what he does and seeing the spiritual application. You know, he says in Matthew 6, look at the sparrows. They toil not. I take care of them. Why are you worrying about where you're going to live and how you're going to live? I take care of the birds. And look at the lilies. They are absolutely royally robed. Why are you worrying about what you're going to wear? So he already is talking to us about, look at nature, learn who I am and how I take care of you. Now, this next slide shows a natural phenomenon that I just became aware of this month. And it excited me. There is a unique natural phenomenon called where the St. John River flows into the Bay of Fundy. And where the St. John River flows in the Bay of Fundy, it causes a reversing fall. I thought, wow, I bet God's teaching us something about how he wants to reverse the damage done in our life. Now, if you're not familiar with this, which I was not, I had to do some research to find out. This map up here shows you the corner of Canada there, where New Brunswick is, and Nova Scotia, and where New Brunswick is, there's the River of St. John that has winding down 450 miles across New Brunswick and flows into the Bay of Fundy. Now, the Bay of Fundy has a unique tidal reaction. What causes this unique tidal action? Down in Australia and Africa, between those two continents, is the Indian Ocean. When the Indian Ocean moves, number one, the Indian Ocean moves, it goes across the point of Africa at the, maybe it's your Cape of Good Hope, and then it moves up northward to the Bay of Fundy. And the moon's distance from the earth at that longitude, those three things cause a unique tidal action. What's James Alltime teaching us about three things? Next slide, Kyle. James is Alltime teaching us about there's three things that influence us. The bloodline, heritage, culture. Now, James, we may need to have a conversation. I may not have put these in the right category. But the idea is right. The Indian Ocean, starting back between Australia and Africa, starts moving. It moves across the corner of the Cape of Africa. And then the pull of the moon at that longitude. Those three things, I'm going to call them the bloodline, the Indian Ocean, the Cape of Good Hope, the heritage, and the moon, our culture, those come together at the Bay of Fundy to cause a reversing falls, that I know God wants to teach us something about His Himself, because that's what He does through nature. The next slide shows, this is a picture at night of where the Bay of Fundy comes into the St. John River. See that? Where they come there, you see there is a funnel. There is a funnel formed there that starts the action going. At that funnel where the two meet, there's a ledge that goes down 36 feet. And when the water from the river drops down into that ledge, it causes rapids and whirlpools and causes this action to start happening there. So as that action is happening there, I see, hey again, God says in Corinthians, the physical come first and then the spiritual. God says, I want you to look at my physical world and gain spiritual lessons that help you to fall in love with me and who I am even more. As that water falls down on that ledge, it goes down in a pool, sometimes as much as 200 feet. Now, the next slide shows the river and the bay coming together. On the right side is low tide, when the tide is low. And during low tide, the action is calm. And for only 20 minutes, boats can go back and forth there before the tides start adjusting again. But there is a time there of that. On the left side shows the tide beginning to rise. Now, when they rise, this is what causes a reversal of pushing it backward. The next slide, I've got three pictures here. The one on the left shows that where the river comes into the bay is a very narrow gorge. I thought, yes, God says the path to His abundance, to His fullness, is a narrow way. Matthew 7:14 says, it's a narrow way. All that want to enter this will have fullness. So the one on the right is showing the more even tide. Now when the tide is even, the river is flowing. It's called low tide. And it's flowing into the bay naturally and calmly. When God drew you to Himself, depending on your testimony, it was probably, could be compared as a low tide. He was drawing you to Himself. He was showing you His love. And you remember those days you're so zealous, everything you pray for He gives you, just like that. It's a flow. I love it when it's flowing. When you're waking up and everything's just flowing, it's like a plan coming together, and it's beautiful. Then there's slack tide, as I said. That is a period of 20 minutes. Now, this whole cycle of high tide, low tide goes, takes 12 and a half hours to accomplish it. Be high tide, then it goes down to low tide, and in between there's a slack tide. And in that slack tide, there's 20 minutes that boats can go in and so forth. So I thought, yes, that describes my life. Low tide, when it's really flowing and it's exciting. Slack time, He says, okay, now just rest in my love. Rest in my love. Soak in what I've done. I've just given you a word. I've given you a vision. I've given you an encouragement. Soak in it. Let it saturate during the slack time. And then there's a high tide, which I'm using the picture at the bottom to represent that. When the tide gets high in the Bay of Fundy, the waves can get as high as 28 feet. and they start pushing the water back up the river. Start pushing it back up the river. And they will push it at least 80 miles back up the river. So when you feel trials, tribulations, pain, stress, know you're in high tide. And I believe I can make the comparison. He wants to push the waters back up and heal those unhealed wounds. Meet those unmet needs and resolve those unresolved issues. If you will relax, keep your eye on Him as we sang today, letting Him be your focus, He'll do it. He'll reverse it. He'll heal and bring compensation to all those areas. So if anyone asks you, how are you today? Instead of saying fine, you can say, I'm in low tide. Or I'm in slack tide. Or I'm in high tide. Pray that I'll keep my eyes on the one that holds my very life. Because I want those things reversed in my life that needs reversing. The next picture shows much the same thing from a different artist's rendering. How many of you have people in your life that you thought, if I could just get rid of them, everything would be great? It's an obstacle that looks impossible. But God says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you're in high tide or all tide, keep your eye on where you're seated. Keep your eye on where you're seated, on the eternal. What's really going on? You're being conformed to God's image, and He wants to do that in other people's life. The next slide says much of the same thing. All of us have stuff stuck all over us that needs to be chipped off. But you are a diamond in the rough. And that person in your life that you wish you could just mash the delete button and they would be gone is the very one in God's hammer that He says, I've got something beautiful to do in your life through that. Will you trust me in this high tide to push into you to discover whole new realms? A friend that I've known for 40-some years, as she was taking care of her stepfather-in-law, she was sharing with me how difficult he was. He was just an ornery, hateful old man. And they were taking care of him. And then I didn't see her for a long time. And the next time I saw her, she said, Did you know Pop passed? And I said, no. Tell me about it. She said, he was such a blessing. And I thought, disconnect. I know the story. What do you mean he was such a blessing? She said, we would have never known how to love God to the dimension we do now if we hadn't had Him to practice on. So, whoever you would just like to mash that delete button, God says, will you let me turn it for good? Will you push into me to let me heal parts of you that need to be healed, to open up whole new dimensions to you that need to be held up? Because God has in your life exactly who you need. So in closing, let me share this scripture because this is how you do it. The scripture, let me just point out from Romans 1, 18 through 28. At the bottom there from the message, he says, if you don't look at